we all do what we must. Admiral Necpoix, too, wasn't used to irony when it came to his own words. But now, at 3:14 in the morning, as he quietly let himself out of Dalla's apartments, he found himself haunted by it. He nodded to the security droid at the entrance to her gleaming apartment building. Normally, he would stay the night and depart early in the morning in the same small speeder in which he had arrived. The droids were programmed to be discreet, and the living beings who sometimes operated security were paid to be so. But tonight he wanted to go back to his offices. He needed to talk to Kenth Hamner. The area was home to many of Coruscant's wealthy and powerful, and the neighborhood was quiet at this time of night. He transferred a discreet handheld blaster from the inside of the well-tailored coat he wore to his right-hand pocket. Boitu had not risen to the heights he presently enjoyed without preparing for all eventualities. He stepped forward into the night, eyes and nose alert, but overall relaxed. His path was along one of the pleasant pedestrian walkways that helped keep those who could afford to live this high above the city streets from having to mingle with those who couldn't. Colored lights from the various vessels zooming along above him lit his path with rainbow hues. There were very few beings out at this hour, but that would change in a short while. Dalla was doing the wrong things for the right reasons. He cared for her deeply, but he had sworn an oath of Krevi, and his first and last allegiance was to the Galactic Alliance. And Dalla, like a well-intentioned but misguided parent, was alienating her charge, and further, harming it with punishments that were intended to do the opposite. He had come to her for several reasons tonight. First, because he enjoyed her company, always. Second, because he had wanted to be a supportive listener. And third, because he had hoped to sound her out on the issue of the Jedi. He hadn't even been able to get that far. He had known she would not listen to other viewpoints once she started voicing her opinions about Mahdi Vaunt and the uprisings and the need to put them down before they got out of hand. She saw only the disorder and chaos that such things would cause. She could not or would not see what a policy such as the one she was advocating would do. He kept up the brisk pace, thinking hard, and moved into an area on the walkway that was covered by transparasteel. There were a few such areas where pedestrians could take refuge in case of inclement weather. The wind shifted, and he caught a faint whiff of the scent of human. He swiveled his ears behind him, his fur rippling with unease. The scent grew stronger. Boitu came to a halt, his hand gripping the hilt of the small blaster concealed in the pocket of his coat. He turned around slowly and saw no one. Too late. He glanced upward. One was already dropping silently down. He heard at least one other scrambling up from where he had waited, concealed beneath the walkway. Thugs, robbers, predators, lurking in hopes of preying upon the weak. But Boitu was a predator himself, in the prime of his years, with an extensive knowledge of hand-to-hand combat and a blaster in his pocket. He dove out of the way, not quite in time to avoid his legs being struck, but swiftly enough to land and leap back to his feet.